This is a story about the cat that could. Alert, smoky grey eyes peered out from under a precariously balanced crossbeam, which was preventing the semi-demolished three-story house from sinking any lower after it had imploded during the last catastrophic turbulence of a recent earthquake. The kitten twitched its whiskers and scanned the immediate area with its olfactory glands at full alert. She was so hungry that the stomach cramps were competing with the pain coming up in waves from her crushed hip and shattered hind leg. She found it hard to gauge the time frame, but figured, from a calculation of missed meals, that it must be 5 days since the last major tremor had sent her owners fleeing for their lives. Over the few months since she was adopted by her human family, she had heard much talk of a previous disastrous earthquake which had devastated their neighbourhood, and had experienced a number of terrifying small quakes which left her feeling dizzy and disoriented. She now felt as if the very ground she had so confidently stalked upon and the surrounding areas where she playfully chased small crawly creatures was no longer to be trusted. Nowhere was safe. Everything kept shifting shape and heavy objects were constantly falling all around her. Her nerves were shattered and her tiny frame shook convulsively with fear and shock. For a few days she had kept her hunger at bay by drinking from small pockets of rainwater, but her survival instincts now alerted her to a dangerous element mixed up with the sediment which continued to seep up through the ground. Surrounded with undrinkable water, thirst and hunger exacerbated her already weakened condition, and her chances of survival were rapidly reducing. Now, a kitten instinctively knows that it is capable of licking wounds and making them better, but frantic gnawing and licking at a hind leg had been to no avail. Although the initial excruciating pain had dulled, she knew the leg was dead and no further use to her. Her forays out in search of nourishment were now reduced to bouts of alertness between longer periods of lethargy and ever-diminishing awareness of her surroundings. From time to time, small quivering meows and plaintive cries were wrenched from her severely damaged body. Gradually, through a fog of apathy and despair, she heard muted voices close by. She pricked up her ears, her heartbeat quickened, and she hardly dared to breathe as she cautiously monitored the situation. "Well, sweetheart, I don't think there's anything salvageable here," said a deep masculine voice as a chunky young man with floppy blonde hair came into view. "No argument with that. It looks like a bomb site," was the reluctant response, which came from a slight young woman with a mop of curly red hair who appeared close behind him. "But I'm determined to find something for Jamie that will give him a sense of continuity. His recovery from the trauma of the quake is being handicapped by the fact that he also has to deal with total change. Everything he knows in his life has been taken away, and having something familiar would help reconnect him." Sighing, the man agreed. "I know, you're right. The trauma counsellor made lots of sense and was invaluable in helping us to understand the process of recovery from the type of physical and emotional trauma we've all been through. Intellectually, we know that time will heal his emotional wounds, but we're both frustrated because he has retreated inside himself and we can't reach him. I think you were right when you suggested that he needs something to divert his attention." As he was speaking, the man stepped on a board which dislodged some debris, exposing the kitten. Instinctively, she leapt up and hissed and spat in fright, thinking she was being attacked. "Well, looky here," said the startled man. "We've got a very frightened kitten under all this." And crouching down, he attempted to entice the hissing, snarling kitten out of its hiding place. His companion joined him, and together they coaxed and cooed in soft-soothing voices. "Yeah, kitty, 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 good pussy, come here, we won't hurt you." But she was so terrified, the kitten kept attempting to wriggle back even further into the barricaded crevice she had been using as protection. "It's so petrified, I'm going to have to grab it by the scruff of the neck," explained the man. "Don't get scratched, Wayne," said his concerned partner. "Don't worry, I've pulled my sleeve down over my hand," he reassured her as he made a quick lunge at the panic-stricken kitten. Before she knew what was happening, the little kitten was scooped up, wrapped in strong arms, and a gentle, soothing hand was stroking her back. Gradually, she stopped trembling and allowed the man to make a tentative exploration of her scruffy, dirty, matted body. "Poor baby," he said as he felt the abnormal angle of her leg. "She's badly hurt as well as starving," he informed his hovering wife. "Well," she said in awed tones, "who knows? Maybe the universe put her here for us to find. Our Jamie is such a sweet-natured little boy that nurturing another wounded creature could be just what the doctor ordered to assist his own rehabilitation. Let's take her home and give it a try." Now that she felt she was in safe hands, the little kitten was able to relax and succumb to her weakness and curled up and went to sleep. While she was in this semi-comatose state, she was taken to a vet who quickly gave her local anesthetic, then checked out her wounds. Wayne and Sarah drove home reassured that with a good deal of patience and care, their new pet would be capable of living a full life and manage very well with only three healthy legs. She woke to the intoxicating smell of fresh cooked chicken pieces purchased from a drive-in on the way home. Forgetting her manners, she scoffed the food in a few ravenous mouthfuls and then transferred her attention to the bowl of milk placed nearby. "Well, little one, I think it's time we got some of this grime off you so that we can see what you really look like," said the kind lady she'd come to realize was called Sarah. Although she didn't much like water, she realized that she was being helped and allowed herself to be subjected to the indignity and ultimate humiliation of being submerged in warm, soapy water and scrubbed. She emerged in her full, fluffy glory, and it could clearly be seen that she was a very pretty, extremely fluffy, light grey cat with splotches of pure white through her fur and smart white socks on her paws. "Well, well," said Sarah, "aren't we the beautiful one? Now I think it's time to introduce you to Jamie and see how you like each other." Normally a very energetic, outgoing little boy, 8-year-old Jamie now spent his days huddled on a makeshift cot set up in his uncle's sunroom. He could not be persuaded to interact with the rest of the temporarily co-joined families, but preferred to read or play computer games or just stare into space. Truth be told, he was not engaged in any of these activities as he found it difficult to concentrate for any period of time and seemed to be operating in a fog. Concentration was difficult and he was afraid to go to sleep because of ghastly reoccurring nightmares about the earthquake. When his parents called him for a family talk, he obeyed by rote and slouched into the living room with obvious disinterest. After he had slumped into the settee, he observed something nestled in his mother's lap. Before he could comment, a warm, squirming ball of fluff was transferred to his knee. Sarah sat down beside the two of them and continued to soothe the kitten while embracing Jamie in a one-armed hug. "Honey," she said, "we are hoping you can help us out with a rather daunting challenge. While we're at our old house, we found the starving, badly hurt kitten. We knew that if we left it there, it would surely die, so we took it to the vet. The truth is, its injuries are so severe that we may still have to put her down. But the vet has convinced us it is worth the attempt to nurse her back to health. If she can learn to be independent with just three legs, then she will survive. But it will take a lot of time and patience to train her and help to get back her confidence." While Sarah and Wayne waited with bated breath to hear Jamie's response, the weary little kitten considered what being put down involved and sensed the gravity of the situation and uncertainty surrounding her future. Weighing up the fact that both Sarah and Wayne had proved to be kind and gentle, she figured this freckle-faced, wiry-framed little boy with unruly brown curly hair and soft grey eyes similar to her own would be a safe bet. So she decided a little bit of feline manipulation and a feminine allure was called for and promptly turned her big soulful eyes up to Jamie, snuggled into him, kneading her claws into his jumper, and pumped out her most seductive purr. Jamie was a well-mannered, respectful little boy who was always kind and gentle towards those younger and weaker than himself. So despite his current lethargy, he was not totally immune to the kitten's charms and demand for affection. and he wanted to please his parents. However, he couldn't help but voice his reservations when he saw the crippled leg. "How's this kitten ever going to run and play and jump up on things? It won't be able to do any of the things normal cats do." "You may be right, Jamie," said his dad, "but we think she deserves to be given a chance to try. Like you, she has experienced great trauma. She is so small that all those huge rumbles and bangs would have been overwhelming, and the inability to find a secure footing would have severely shaken her security in the world around her. As well as the emotional stress, she's also experienced physical pain and permanent damage to her tiny body. If she is to recover and have any quality of life, it will require very special care and attention. What do you think, son? Will you give it a go?" With three pairs of anxious eyes on him waiting for his answer, Jamie felt compelled to nod his head and mutter, "Okay, I'll try. I guess she needs a name. What about Lucky? Since she's very lucky to be alive." As the weeks went by and all their energy and attention was applied to rehousing and adjusting to a new area, everyone became very used to seeing little Lucky tucked inside Jamie's zippered sweatshirt. Gradually, Jamie was returning to the bright, happy little boy he had been before the earthquake, and his parents welcomed the change with enormous relief and gratitude. They attributed the improved behaviour to the process of time and settled back into their comfortable life. The day finally came when it was time for Jamie to prepare to return to school. Suddenly, everyone was faced with the realization that Lucky could not remain an attachment to Jamie, and a decision needed to be made about her future. In whispered conversations behind closed doors, Sarah and Wayne grappled with an answer and reluctantly arrived at the conclusion that Lucky would have to be handed over to the SPCA, in the hope that someone would be prepared to take on the responsibility of her constant care. So it was with great trepidation that they broached the subject after dinner that evening. As was to be expected, Jamie reacted with horror at the prospect of losing his constant companion, best friend, and treasured confidant. Screaming his refusal to relinquish his best friend, he ran out of the room and into his bedroom, slamming the door behind him for added emphasis. A few minutes later, after knocking on the door, both his parents came into the room and sat either side of him on the bed. "Okay," said his dad, "this is what we've come up with. You have 10 days before you start back at school. Use that time to teach Lucky to fend for herself, and there'll be no question of giving her up. But we both work, and we simply can't leave a helpless cat shut up on its own all day. Besides, it's not fair to Lucky to pander to her handicap. So long as we continue to provide for her every need and encourage her dependence on us, we are not showing her respect, and we are instead disempowering her. She needs to get back to being a cat instead of a fluffy, warm toy. Do we have a deal, son?" Wiping his runny nose on his sleeve and stifling his tears, Jamie looked from one anxious, loving face to another and realized that they were right, and it was up to him to set Lucky free. Squashing Lucky between them, Jamie hugged his dad and nodded his head into his large, reassuring shoulder so that his words were muffled as he said, "She can do it, Dad. Just you watch. She's a smart cat, and she wants to please me, so she's easy to train." So began a tremulous journey towards independence as the young boy and the little cat learnt to become separate entities who loved and cared for each other while respecting their unique differences. Sarah and Wayne, who were busy people and had confidence in their son, left them to get on with their daily exercises with regular checks to encourage the progress. Secretly, they feared failure, but wanted Jamie to succeed in this venture, so hoped and prayed for the best. They discussed the fact that he was almost back to the outgoing, confident little boy they had so much enjoyed, and they believed it would be detrimental to his full recovery if they had to take Lucky away. Meanwhile, Jamie and Lucky followed a strict daily routine. Jamie would place Lucky at a point near the back door of their new house and move back a little further each day, using the enticement of a tasty morsel of her favorite food. So long as he kept her distracted by talking to her, she was able to move further and further from the security of indoors. However, the slightest loud noise would send her scurrying back for cover. It was only her deep love and attachment for Jamie that kept her fears at bay and drove her to move out an inch towards his protective arms. There were times when Lucky thought it might have been easier to have been left behind in the rubble, or at the very least to be able to gnaw her wasted, twisted and heavy leg right off so that she never had to drag it behind her again. But whenever she had these discouraging thoughts, she turned her focus to the wonderful life she now had with Jamie and realized she would not exchange that for anything in the world. The days were ticking down and Jamie was determined to meet his deadline. Part of his daily exercise regime was for Jamie to put Lucky up on some elevation and encourage her to jump down to him. Some days she despaired of ever moving with any semblance of dignity and doubted that she would ever be able to jump. Jamie, however, never doubting for one moment that Lucky would do anything he asked of her, upped the ante and began putting the titbits on higher levels to induce her to jump up to retrieve them. But try as she might, Lucky could not overcome her fear that if she leapt, the dead weight behind her would pull her back down. Time and time again, she balked at taking that last leap of faith. Meanwhile, nature was taking its own course. What she did not recognize was that all the good food she'd been eating and the constant exercise was slowly but surely building up her strength. There came a day when she was hobbling out towards Jamie, who was calling her from his position by the garage, when she was startled by a cheeky blackbird who dive-bombed her. Without thought, she leapt up at the bird and with swinging paws and snapping jaws showed the interloper just who was in charge of this turf. It wasn't until Jamie yelped with joy and did a small war dance around her that she realized just what she'd done and allowed herself a small smirk of satisfaction. From that day forward, Lucky gathered strength and confidence and tested her nerves and courage with more and more challenges. She began to think of her useless leg as an extension of her hip and to make allowances for the extra weight she carried on one side. Watching her, Jamie was amused to see that she was developing an interesting swagger that reflected a "don't mess with me" attitude. Certainly, Lucky was never going to grace any catwalk, but she was developing into a persona which matched her growing confidence. Day 10 arrived and Jamie came down to breakfast after a sleepless night, worrying that his parents might not feel that Lucky had achieved enough independence to earn her permanent residence. He was very subdued and sat at the table moving sausage and beans around on his plate without paying attention to what he was doing. Although Sarah and Wayne had been observing the progress and were impressed with what Boy and Kat had achieved, they still had major reservations. They were reluctant to disappoint Jamie, but had been girding themselves to tell him that they felt it would be kinder to let Lucky go. After a quick glance at Sarah, Wayne took a deep breath and prepared to deliver the bad news. But before he could open his mouth, a fluffy grey missile leapt onto the table, snaffled the sausage he'd been waving the air to cool, took another leap up to the windowsill, and disappeared outside with a stolen bounty. They all looked at each other, speechless in utter astonishment and awe, then simultaneously cracked up with peals of unrestrained, healing laughter. When he could finally talk, Wayne admonished Jamie with, "I hope you haven't been encouraging such bad behavior, young man. What do you think prompted such disregard for table manners?" "Because she could," whooped a joyous Jamie. And from that moment on, Lucky became an integral part of the family, and no one ever considered